We are joined right now by a good friend of the program. He is a reporter for NFL Media. He is a Hall of Fame voter, an adjunct professor at San Diego State School of Journalism, author of Junior Seau, The Life and Death of a Football Icon, another wild NFL weekend. So we are joined right now by Jim Trotter to break it down. Jim, good to have you back. How are you?
Romy, doing well. How you doing?
Good, dude, good. Thanks so much for joining us. Jim, why don't we start with the end of the NFL weekend. Patrick Mahomes doing what Patrick Mahomes does, especially to the Chargers, driving a stake right through their heart again, Jim. I mean, do you have any issue with how the Chargers approach that KCTD drive, or is Patrick just too good?
He's just too good. You know what's funny is I didn't have to travel this weekend, so I'm on the couch watching the game, and when the Chargers scored with a minute plus left, my wife says to me, oh, this game's over. And I said, you do know who's on the other sideline, right? She goes, no, this game's over. I said, you know what he did in 13 seconds in the playoffs last year, right? And so
she was right. Jim, she was right. The game was over. It was just for the other guy.
Exactly. So when they scored the touchdown, I said, you know, having been married for a long time, Romy, I knew better than to rub it in. I wasn't going to say, see, I told you so. So I just said, you see what just happened there? So, no, it's Patrick Mahomes. I mean, and he and Travis Kelce have one of, I think, the most special relationships in terms of a quarterback-receiver combination in NFL history. And Travis Kelce just gets better and better every year. And, you know, part of that is due to him, but part of that is due to playing with a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback. And it's just in those situations where play has to be made and everybody knows where the ball is going to go, they still find a way to get it done, and it's just special to watch.
I agree with you. I think the relationship, Jim, is absolutely amazing. I could stay on that topic for an entire hour, but I want to keep moving. Jim Trotter is my guest. So, Jim, I personally love the Miami Dolphins. They look to me like a legitimate Super Bowl contender. Am I getting ahead of myself here?
No. It's funny. I just wrote about that this morning, you know, talking about three things I think I know and three things I know I know. And I believe that the Miami Dolphins are good enough to make a Super Bowl run. The issue here, Romy, as you know, it's no secret. Too many people want to view Tua Tagovailoa through the prism of his previous two seasons. And I just think that when you get a creative play caller and somebody who thinks outside the box like Mike McDaniel, and you put him with a guy like Tua who's very cerebral, very smart, and feeds off of that sort of positive reinforcement, and then you give him playmakers on the outside like they have with Waddle and Tyreek Hill, I think we're seeing something special, you know, along to go with that defense, which is solid. So, you know, this is a team that there are only certain ways defensively that you can play them, because with that speed on the outside and their ability to make plays down the field and whatnot, there were a lot of people who thought Tua couldn't throw the deep ball, which is kind of funny to me. I think back to my days as a kid watching Joe Montana, and people say he didn't have arm strength. It didn't stop him from throwing the deep ball. There's a lot involved with that besides just arm talent. So I think they're legit. I think that anyone who sleeps on them is going to wake up wondering what happened.
Jim Trotter is joining us. What a great comparison to Joe Montana. I mean, in the sense that you're right. People thought that he could not throw the deep ball, and then he could throw the deep ball. Jim, I really want to love the Jets. Like, I love their defense. I really like Robert Saleh a lot. But they could not have looked any worse than they did offensively yesterday. Have you seen anything from Zach Wilson that makes you think that he's going to be a good NFL quarterback, much less the franchise player they thought they were getting when they selected him second overall?
No. And it's funny, I saw something on social media this morning that compared his first 20 games to the first 20 games of Jamarcus Russell, and the numbers are almost identical. But beyond the physical and the statistics that we see, the thing that really concerns me about Zach Wilson is the lack of leadership. The way he handled that press conference after the game yesterday, not accepting accountability in terms of how poorly he played and the offense played, and then kind of barking back at his receivers who had expressed some frustrations about things, tells me that he's got a lot of making up to do in that locker room, and I don't know if you do it in 1 week. So besides all the other things that are tangible in terms of breaking down his performance, seeing his statistics and all of that, a quarterback has to be respected in the locker room. And I'm not so sure based on what we're starting to hear out of that locker room and the way it went down after that game last night, that Zach Wilson is actually respected in that locker room. He's got a lot of fences to mend here. And again, I don't know that you do that in 1 week, and I don't know that you do that in half a season. He's a guy that I'm not, at least me personally, I am not sold on at all.
Jim, I think you make all extremely valid points, but even more so if the guy doesn't get it, right? It's one thing to understand
exactly.
That, hey, man, I got a real problem here. I got to make it right with these guys. And even then, that's not an easy thing to do, to your point. But what if you think, I mean, he does not carry himself like he thinks it's his fault. And then if you don't know that, then there's no way you're going to fix it.
No, and that's the thing, because what are quarterbacks taught from a very young age if they're coached well, Romy? They're taught that you always fall on the sword. You know, it's always about you. It's not about your teammates in terms of when there is a bad performance or a loss. You put it on your shoulders. He refuses to do that, which is mind-boggling to me when you think about the way that he has performed this year. I mean, look, Joe Flacco in those three starts to start the year had performed better than Zach Wilson has at this point. And I would say this to you, and I believe this truly. The Jets are in a win-now mode. That defense is good enough to win and get to the playoffs and at least be competitive there now. I would seriously consider changing quarterbacks at this point because, you know, when you start putting one player ahead of the entire team, the players know that. And then as a coach, you start to lose credibility with your players. So if you have a quarterback, a young quarterback who's refusing to accept accountability, who lacks self-awareness, who is not making plays on the field, and you at least have a veteran who has been through it and at least knows what it takes to get there, and I'm not saying that he is any way resembling what he once was, I make the change. And that's just how I feel at this point. I don't think they can wait on Zach Wilson if we're talking about this season itself. I think you got to make the move now. Will Robert Saleh do it? I don't know.
I do not disagree with that logic at all. Jim Trotter is joining us. He's not acting like a QB1 franchise type quarterback.
No.
He's acting like a spoiled, entitled brat. That's how the guy's acting. Jim Trotter is joining us. So, Jim, you had the Eagles before the season going to the Super Bowl. They're still in a great spot. They had a loss. They had to grind out a tough come from behind win. Do you have any concerns at all about the way they've played the last 2 weeks?
No, actually, I thought yesterday was a confirmation of who I thought they were. Look, every team is going to have one of those games where it just doesn't play well, right? And the question is, how do you respond to it? And things did not look well for the Eagles yesterday when you talk about the fact that they're coming off their first loss of the season. They're on the road against a team that has a little bit of buzz after winning that first game with Jeff Saturday as interim head coach. They're on the road, hostile environment, all of those things. And they're down by 10 going into the fourth quarter and just don't look good at all offensively. And what happens? Their young quarterback puts it on his shoulder and never panics, never looks flustered, and says, you know what, we're going to be all right. And what's he start doing? Designed runs, some scrambles, making pinpoint passes, and they go down and they win the game. So for me, that was a real testament to who the Eagles really are. And I'm not, you know, one thing I've learned over the years, Rome, is like you stick to what you – there's a reason you made a prediction in the preseason, so you stick to it. It's a long ride during a regular season, and I still believe that the Eagles are going to be right there at the end in terms of being in the hunt for the Super Bowl and representing the NFC.
Jim Trotter joining us. Let me ask you this before you go, Jim. Despite their rather abhorrent owner and toxic work culture, incredibly, I can't even believe I'm going to ask you this, incredibly, is there a better story in the NFL right now than the Commanders?
No, not to me. I mean, when you figure they started 1-4, when you figure they made the trade to get Carson Wentz and believed he was their guy, when you have an owner who, you know, by all of his actions and things that have been done in the past, it just could have been an avalanche over this team and just derailed it for the season. And yet Ron Rivera has kept this group together. And now they've won 5 of 6. They have a quarterback in Taylor Heineke whose spirit and personality and competitiveness everyone seems to be feeding off of. Their defensive line with a lot of high draft picks is playing well. And now you're going to get Chase Young back, who was one of the dominant young players before he got injured. It's just a great story to of perseverance, of resilience. And we know that Ron Rivera lost his mother recently. So you throw that into the mix. You have Brian Robinson being shot, you know, before the season and coming back from that. There are just so many storylines to this franchise this year, but ultimately it's what they're doing on the field, having overcome all of these things to be now at least in a position to try and make a run to get into the playoffs. Just a great story.
He is a reporter for NFL Media, a Hall of Fame voter, a professor at San Diego State School of Journalism, and the author of Junior Seau, The Life and Death of a Football Icon, and a good friend of the program. He is Jim Trotter. Jim, thanks a million. Really good to have you on. I always appreciate the time and the relationship.
Romy, always appreciate it, man. You have a good one.
You too. Jim Trotter joining us. And I thought, obviously, again, always, his insight, information's great. And as good as that was, there was so much more we could still get to. Your thoughts on anything you just heard? He said, I'm telling you, the Jets are good enough and still in this thing that you have to consider changing out the quarterback. I don't disagree with that at all. At this point, even at 37, 38, Flacco, I think he does give them a better chance of winning right now than Zach Wilson.